There are a million ways to make money in the food service industry. You just have to find one. On the Titans of Food Service podcast, I interview real life movers and shakers in the food game who cut through all the noise to get to the top. My name is Nick Portillo, and welcome to the Titans of Food Service podcast. Let's jump right into it. Hello to my fellow food service community from my sunny Orange County, California studio. Nick Portillo here, and this is Titans of Food Service. In today's episode, I'm joined today by two truly, truly remarkable people from Hain Celestial. The first one is Jen Roth. She's the vice president of Away From Home and Small Format for Hain Celestial. And the other is Emily Mark, the national sales manager for Away From Home Food Service and Vending. In this episode, we're going to explore how both Jen and Emily are leveraging their extensive background and experience to drive Hain Celestial forward in the food service industry. I think you're really, really, really going to appreciate their insights. It's candid, and anybody in the food service industry can learn from this conversation. So excited to have you listen in. So without further ado, let's go ahead and welcome Jen and Emily to Titans of Food Service.
Okay.
Did you say, are you going to the NRA?
Yes, we are. Yeah, so we would love to, you know, if we can even wave past you in the hall, or not sure if you, how you guys go about it, your plan for NRA, or we'll be there slightly, same overlapping and then different times, but we will be there.
Have you always done, has Hain always been at the NRA show?
We will not be exhibiting. So we will have we are walking the show for key learnings, observation, you know, networking opportunities. Emily did the same last year when she was with Hain. And also just to kind of get the lay of the land, you know, what's new that folks are introducing, how might we, you know, fit into some of the innovation thoughts that we see out there. So I think it should be fun. You know, I haven't been in a few years, so it's good for me.
I think my dad, he's gone for 20, 30 years. Oh, he hasn't gone consecutively because there has been years like when I was growing up where I had like a graduation. I think my college graduation, I think, fell on this upcoming weekend. I'm pretty sure my alma mater is getting all set up, but he'd always get all stressed out when he couldn't go because he loves going and touring around all the different booths and talking to people. I know there's events that you can go to. It's a really, really great event for sure.
I've got a couple of our national accounts that are going to be there that have emailed me. So hopefully we'll get an opportunity to connect with them
out of
the show. I know it's crazy, though, because it's kind of like, how do you schedule when you're at an NRA? It's ginormous. You don't really know your schedule. So you're like, well, just text me when you're available.
Can you guys walk it, or do you guys have a booth, or how do you?
Yeah, we just walk it.
Okay.
We go through and see, you know, some of our manufacturer partners and just kind of see what they're up to, any new innovations. It's a good way to see everybody all at one time as well, as opposed to, you know, setting up a virtual call here or there. Like, you can kind of just go see everybody live in person at the same time. So it makes it. One, it's very tiring at the end. I think everybody at the end of each day, I'm like, oh, I'm so tired.
You don't need sleepy time. You'll just fall right to sleep.
Exactly. So to those listening, we're talking off camera. I started drinking Celestial tea every night, the sleepy time tea. And what I do before bed is my wife and I, she's reading and we go into bed, she's reading, and then I'll have my sleepy time tea, and my latency has increased. So it's sped up, which just means essentially the time it takes to fall asleep has gotten a lot faster, usually within 10 minutes, which is great. And, yeah, exactly. So what are each of your day-to-day look like? What are your jobs specifically at Hain?
Yeah, Emily, if you want to go first.
Yeah, so I am the national sales manager. So I oversee really the food service and vending operations for Hain Celestial. I work with our broker partners, and we're currently, as part of our new Hain Reimagined, bringing on some new team members. So I'm working to transition some of those areas of responsibility over to them. So I would say my day-to-day right now is varies significantly. You can go from one thing to the next every 20 minutes of the day. And I think that's just part of, you know, really starting a new division. So it's very diverse and unique, and I am never bored. I would love to be bored just one day.
And I work with Emily, leading the, away from home, segments in small format, which is food service, vending, convenience, value, and drug and special markets. So several different ones. But as Emily mentioned, we, you know, as a part of Hain Reimagined, which is an overall global, transformation plan, AFH is a big part of that. So food service and convenience are really being stood up much more intentionally. Just as a lot of, you know, retail focused, companies have sort of understood there's an opportunity for both, you know, certainly sales, but also brand building in channels that aren't just a grocery store. So that's really why some of the intention was focused on food service, convenience, some in vending, and I'd say special markets too, all those immediate consumption occasions, mm-hmm. where we've played, but not intentionally and not as strongly as we know we can.
Yeah, that makes sense. Emily, can we go back to something that you said as part of your Hain Reimagined, like bringing on new team members and finding mm-hmm. people? How do you both find good people? I feel like in the food service industry, there's some companies that do it really well, and then there's some companies that are like, this is an area of improvement. I'm curious how you do it.
Well, we do work with our HR partner to try to secure really good candidates for the position. You know, I will say one of the things that's unique about when we're looking for candidates, at least an attribute that I look for, when you're developing a new channel, it's really looking for people that are hungry and that have this tenacity to never quit and to not give up and really have a really strong resilience, because there's going to be days where it gets tough and it gets challenging and you sometimes feel like you get to pull your hair out. But at the end of the day, you know going into that you're going to be experiencing those things. And so it really does take the right applicant for those types of roles to know ahead of time you're going to face obstacles. How good are you at navigating through those obstacles and pulling yourself up when you do get stressed out or you need to take a break? And, you know, I think that that's the one really great thing, especially working with Jen, is she's really good at identifying when we start to hit a wall. And so just saying, Emily, it's time to pause and let's regroup, you know, let's take a break from this, walk away and regroup. And I think as long as, you know, when you're looking for candidates, knowing ahead of time some of those key things that you absolutely need that are critical, that may be different than a more established company, because you know, a lot of these things don't currently exist. And so we're having to create a lot of them.
Sure. Yeah, we've had we've been really fortunate too in our network. So Food Service Women's Alliance, you know, we've found candidates through that amazing group, which I proudly sit on the board of with Julie Swift and team. And then also just our other folks. So some of those candidates had someone in their network. And so we've had a little bit of everything from maybe somebody we knew or a friend of a friend or a network of a network, and also just sort of doing searches through LinkedIn. So sometimes people aren't really sure what the value of LinkedIn is on one day or another, but there is value in making sure your profile is well represented, you know, on that platform. I have found it to be very true.
Yeah,
and I think one thing I'd add to that too is that much of what Emily said, you know, we've been around for a long time, but we've not been really starting up this division. And so it's sort of a startup under a legacy brand halo. And so having folks that had experience both in larger CPG for some of those disciplines and practices and experiences, but also from startups or much smaller companies. Mm-hmm. So they also bring in a different spirit and experience to the role has really been sort of a magic formula that we didn't know we intentionally set out to, and that's exactly what ended up happening. So yeah, it's been good.
And Jen, on that point, you know, looking at your past experience in the food industry, how has that prepared you for being at Hain, you know, kind of having that startup feel and building out this food service business?
Yeah. I mean, I was very fortunate to work under a leader, you know, at another company who really tried to, even though it was a large CPG publicly traded, that wanted to bring the soul of a startup to it. And mm-hmm. so the question was always put forth, well, how might we? Not this is how you will. And so that really sort of keeps the spirit of innovation, even at a larger, you know, a larger platform, like a, you know, whether it's a Kellogg or General Mills or a Kraft, you know, great, big, great companies. But it depends on the culture you infuse in it. So culture is probably one of the top of the pillar items that, you know, our CEO has brought in, that I work to bring in, that Emily looks to foster as well, that it has to be a full team effort. Culture brings performance. And so it's absolutely tantamount to our success and should be for any company's success. But watching that play out in a different food service environment, I know that it's true and we can bring it elsewhere. And, you know, certainly just having the, you know, sometimes you say it's luxury of a broad span of accounts and segments and channels has also helped, you know, come in to Hain to help to stand that up with an incredible array of experienced professionals that are looking to do just that, and that stand up and create a legacy, you know, for the Away From Home division.
Sure. And maybe, Emily, what are some of the challenges maybe that you faced and things that you're learning along the way?
Well, I think some of the challenges was really you have to think about the broader picture. So there's part of it where you're having to work with distribution partners to make them more aware of who you are. You've got your customer base that you have to also work with, but you also have to sell the channel within your own company. And so knowing that you have a lot of individuals that are very experienced at what they do, but are bridging that gap into a whole new division that may have no experience with, a lot of it is teaching within. You know, how do you teach within? How do you give grace within the broader organization for them to understand there are things that are specific and unique to our channel? I mean, all the way down to the acronyms that we use. You know, so I think acronyms are always funny because we just had a conversation about it earlier. What is that? Yeah. And I think just overall,
we're still learning. So yeah,
totally. Distributors, they make up their own acronyms and they constantly change them, or they change the name of their, you know, their sales forces this one day and then that the next day. I'm like, sometimes I'm like, I can't even keep up. And I've been doing this now for 9 years. But I do like the acronyms. When you go out into the trade and you present your products, what is the perception of Hain? Do people know the brand or do they not know the brand? What's kind of the feel when you're making presentations to people?
Generally, the first thing that I get is, oh, I buy this. Mm. But like, I buy this at home. This is in my pantry now. And so I'd say that the overall reception to the brands is there's a very strong brand following and brand loyalty, which is fantastic. I mean, all of our snack brands, and quite honestly, most of our brands are number one within their respective category on the retail side of the business. Mm-hmm. And so this is really kind of an opportunity for us to show them, here are the favorites that you get at home. And we're now making them available to you in the Away From Home channel within your format that you're looking for. And so the reception has been fantastic and exciting. I think a lot of it is more, there's a lot of work that we still need to do because a lot of people don't realize all of these brands are part of the Hain family. Mm-hmm. They know the brand, but they haven't put them all together yet. And that's something that we're working on. So we recognize that we've got great brands. They just pulling them together into the same umbrella is going to be a really instrumental thing that we have to work on.
Yeah, it's actually, and that's a great point because it's part of a strategy plan for how we show up. Uh-huh. And so whether that is certainly, you know, marketing materials, banners, you know, I mean, everything that helps to showcase who Hain Celestial is, including who we are at industry trade shows. So we may not be at NRA this year, but we are participating in many other different either segment specific or national shows that really help to showcase who we are and what brands we have. Because I know Emily's been on lots of calls like, well, what is Hain sell. And oh yeah, yeah, I do buy those for, you know, either from you or for my house or something. Mm-hmm. So it's trying to tie it all together.
Yeah, I would imagine that there may be some difficulty, or maybe it sounds like there is some difficulty in terms of, you know, I'm sure a lot of people know the Celestial tea brand, and then you've got your veggie straws, right? May not think that there's a connection there. And then you have Greek gods, you know, kind of, you have a whole wide portfolio of products. And when you go into a customer, when you make the presentation, you have more solutions than just one, which is, I think, probably brings challenges and opportunities with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that's been great about Celestial Seasonings is we're not just a tea company.
Yeah.
And since all of our brands travel together on the same truck out of the same DCs, that's been a very attractive quality that a lot of distribution partners like, because it gives them the ability to kind of order multiple better for you items from one primary, you know, manufacturer that all will ship together on the same truck. And so it's a lot easier to reach those minimum order quantities and at the same time know that they have kind of a one-stop shop supplier for a lot of better-for-you solutions.
Sure. And I know both of you are very, you're very involved in the food service industry. A lot of people know you. And I'm curious to know what your take or what your hope for is in the for the future of food service. What do you hope to see in the future that's not here necessarily today?
I think that, you know, it's twofold. One, you know, I'm very passionate about bringing and lifting women into food service and up through it, of all backgrounds, diversities, levels, ages, everything. And so that would be my wish on that front. From a whole, I would like to see more of the better for you integrated as a standard. So we're starting to see more and more of it in retail. Even convenience is broaching it, you know, that consumer is a little bit different, but absolutely in food service to get a bigger landscape for it. It exists. People buy these at home. Sometimes it's just not always available. So as we communicated throughout all the different touch points, from buying groups to contract managers to distribution and on down, that is one of my wishes. Absolutely. It's what I buy at home. It's what I want to buy when I'm out, you know.
Totally.
I think one of my wishes, and really is one of my primary reasons I came to Hain Celestial, is I'm a dietitian. And so to me, the quality of the food, the ingredients in the food, those are things that matter. And I think that in coming to Hain, one of my primary goals was to work for a company that had better few items to try to make solutions for people that can not only have better for you things that they can eat, but also help their bodies. You know, things that are, I guess my desire would be to give people options that will allow them to live a better lifestyle and to benefit them nutritionally.
That's well said, options. I think that's really on point, because a lot of places you go, you just don't have the option. Except for a nationally branded, you know, chip of some kind that you may not choose first, you know, if you're eating a certain way or have a certain lifestyle. But I think that's well said, Emily. I like that.
Yeah. My mom, actually, when I was growing up, she was going to Cal State Long Beach to get her degree to be a nutritionist. So growing up, I remember when we'd shop at the store, one thing she would say, like for the cereal aisle, right? Because as a kid, I had to have cereal. She's like, it has to be less than 10 grams of sugar per serving or whatever it was in the cereal aisle. And I remember going through, I'm like, there's like very few options here. I'm sure nowadays, this was, 20 years ago, but nowadays it's, I'm sure there's many more options and the better for you products are more available and more out there than they were 10 years ago, 20, 30, 40 years ago, which is really cool to see, you know, that progression for sure.
I think you can't underestimate the importance of choice. If consumers believe whatever form, whether it's the grocery store or the queue line at your hospital, when you're going to visit someone and you're grabbing a bite, to have that choice available is really key. Because it's really, you don't know how your consumers are eating at home. If you don't know how they're eating at home, you've got to bring it into the workplace, you know, where they're going during the day. That's not just the grocery store.
Oh, for sure. I would imagine you probably see success with your products across a lot of BNI accounts, like in corporate campuses and places like that, that promote healthier eating and have a more elevated eating experience as opposed to just going out to get lunch, you know, within the community. What does your business look like in those types of accounts?
Yeah, so when we look at our current portfolio and where our consumer base is today in away from home, I'd say our number one segment that we are selling within is the healthcare segment. Mm. That would be number one, followed very closely with BNI. So a lot of BNI accounts. And then I'd also say college university. So our brands do tend to be very on trend with the college university student today. And so those are really the three primary. But the other one that's really interesting to me is the number of commercial chain accounts that have been reaching out that are recognizing that they're trying to find better food solutions for their commercial menus, you know, whether it be a better oil, whether it be a better potato chip that they want to offer to really bring excitement to the menu. And to really kind of live this mission and values of bringing healthier options to their customer base. So I wouldn't say it's just non-com or commercial. We're really seeing it across the board. You know, I know that we're still kind of this bigger company with this startup mentality, but so many of our businesses have come to us at this point. And so, you know, it's really exciting to know that they're reaching out because they have this as one of their core missions. And so it's been fun to kind of see this evolve. You know, I will tell this quick story because I've told a couple of people, but I'll leave some of the names out. But we were, about 6 months ago, we did a taste testing, I guess you could say, at a very large college account. And I was really surprised at the number of students that came over to the table. They had to be at least 300, 400 kids that came to our table that day. And I bet you 85% of them turned around the package and read the label. I've never seen that before.
Wow.
And it just shows me that there is an awareness that people want to know. They want your items to be easy to understand with ingredient statements they can read. Just that increase of transparency.
Totally. Yeah, that makes sense. You know, it's interesting about like the millennial generation, which is me, and younger generation, which is what Generation Z below me, is we're more, I think we have access to so much more information than generations prior because of the influence of the internet. So looking at things like labels, I think even, you know, outside of the food industry, like, education around finances and saving for retirement and like so many different things that is now available. Social media has pros, it has cons, but it does bring a lot more awareness and information. And so, you know, when you say that you're at that campus and they're looking at it, I'm like, I make sense. I do the same thing when I go shopping or when I'm picking up something. Okay, what's the protein content? What's the calories? My wife, she's a celiac. She can't eat gluten. So she has to check every label. She's lactose intolerant. So she can't have dairy. So, you know, we're constantly looking at labels. So it's interesting to hear that for sure.
Well, absolutely. The other great thing about social media is it offered a platform for Sleepy Time Bear. So he's got, I don't know the number of followers off the top of my head, but he has a huge following on TikTok. So again, college kids love that too. It's pretty amazing that, you know, for a tea that's been around for 50 plus years, actually has a following, of, you know, teenagers and young people that absolutely, adore him. I sound like my mother now saying that out loud, but yeah, no, absolutely. He's been quite the star, and you'll start to see him at some of the industry shows. Emily's had him in a couple of places. We've got a couple of other surprise gigs for him coming up. So we're going to, you know, absolutely give the people what they want.
Oh my gosh.
Well, and he gives very good that. Bear hugs.
Yeah.
Does he gives bear hugs. That's funny. You know, so funny, like the bear, your logo is so well known out there. Maybe a little, in your experience, maybe some advice to other brands out there. There's in the food business, there's so many entrepreneurial minded people that start up brands. They have this great idea and they want to go out there and showcase it to the world. What would be some advice based on your experience of how to build a brand within food service?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, you get the, some companies have the luxury of building off of what they've already established in retail. So, I mean, that's, sure, it's such a big majority of it. Okay. And so, I mean, my two cents on it is to really hone in on the items that you know will draw. So Sleepy Time Bear figured out that, you know, he's a lovable, identifiable character that brings sort of a warmth and coziness to his persona. And the company has leveraged that very nicely. So I think the crossover into food service also has to be very intentional, because if you if you're in it by accident, which can happen, you know, because people just want the brands, or it's just more of a, you know, an afterthought, you're never going to get the traction, you know. So I think understanding the landscape, understanding where you're, what you're headed into, and how it all works is critical to doing that. So for us, that's the journey we're on now, as we've established this foundation and we've already had, you know, this privilege of great brands that play so well in retail. And now we're moving into more intentionally into this real estate that we know exists and is right for it. And how do we get the message out and the broader base?
That makes sense.
And I had that coffee that I told you I would, so that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I think too, part of it is also how you present yourself. So when you're, you know, are you promoting your own brands? Do you eat your own brands? Do you consume them? How do you show up? You know, whether it be your materials, your attire, so, you know, we've got a lot of things in the works that we're working on to really build that brand. And so, you know, coming on, knowing that, you know, we're working on developing an away from home website, which is something that, you know, we haven't had. And so knowing that that's a work in progress, it's not complete yet, you know, that's going to be another avenue for us to really build those brands and tie our family of brands together within our parent brand. So I think it's a lot of different things that you have to consider. So it's the visuals, it's where you actually promote at, what do you attend, what is your digital presence? But I also think it comes down to some core values of what does your brands actually mean and what do they stand for? And we're actually working on a project right now internally to kind of really define what does better for you actually mean to Hain. So it's a cross-functional team of individuals that are looking at what does that actually mean and how are we going to align underneath key components of that brand definition. And it's really interesting because I've met with several distribution partners lately and they're all like, we don't even know what better for you actually means. It means something different for everybody. So what does it mean to you? And I think that that's an opportunity for really all manufacturers, is to kind of really identify what that actually means, because there is no real definition.
Yeah. I get it. Defining what better for you. Yeah. Cause across the board, it might be different. For my wife, it may be something that's gluten-free. For me, it may be something that's higher in protein. So I think that makes sense to kind of define what it is. You know, for our company core values, we have our family integrity, passion, and reliability. Those are our four core values. But what does each one of those mean to us? You know, everybody understands what the definition of integrity is. You know, you could look it up in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, but what does it mean to Portillo Sales and Marketing? Why is that important? And can you, you know, that has to also trickle down to the entire team. So when they're out, I always tell people, when you're out in the field, you're going to be faced with tough decisions, or you're going to be faced with people that you may not, that may make your blood boil or whatever it may be. And so when making a decision, and sometimes it's a split decision, follow the core values. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't fit those four values, then don't do it. Choose a different option or a different decision. And that's really helped us in our growth in finding our guiding light as we've gone through the last 9 years of building our business.
Yeah, well said. And well played in this, in that they're doing this in the field, because that's really where it's going to speak the volumes, is not on a conference call or an internal meeting, but as they're out and about every day. Absolutely.
Shifting gears a little bit, you mentioned the FWA, the Food Service Women's Alliance. What is that? How can people get involved?
Sure. So FWA stands for Food Service Women's Alliance, and we do have a website. It's thatname.com. And if you want to check it out a little bit, it's there's no fees to join. It's meant to serve our community of women in food service and our allies out there as well, who are looking for a sense of community, learning and development opportunities, networking, and a host of other information points that we provide both on the site, on LinkedIn, and including special speakers that we have usually about once a month. And I would absolutely encourage folks who are interested to take a look, knowing that we started out with 30 members, I think, and or less, and now we've got quite a few more. I won't do it justice on the count, but it has expanded, and we will actually be doing a networking event on the morning of Sunday morning during NRA. And I can absolutely send everyone to our LinkedIn post to see that. And if you want to join or you're curious about the organization, and you'll meet a lot of great folks in the process. So welcome all. Wow.
That is, I've watched you and the team build out FWA, and it's really impressive to see. How long has it been around? Maybe a year, 2 years?
Oh, year and a half, barely. Yeah.
Year and a half, barely. And like the growth that has come from it, I think it's been a great resource for a lot of people as well. I'm on the email communications of when someone's looking for a job or when employers post job. Like I see those different engagements and I'm like, this is really cool. This is a great resource for people within the industry. What about on the employer side? What are some things that companies can do to better, you know, be more diverse and have a more diverse team?
You know, I think a lot of companies do very well, big or small, in setting up, you know, employer resource groups. So there can be that sense of community with folks that you may identify more strongly with, as well as being an ally into those. But I think the first thing, and it's more the ground level, is to cast a wide net. Very simply stated. So if diversity, you know, and it should be for everyone, a priority is how they build out their team. So what you sell, what you do internally matches your customer base as well. You know, you want to be able to identify that way as a company, but absolutely cast a wide net because there are talented folks that don't fit the normal of whatever, whoever you've been hiring before. So you throw it out a little wider and you're likely to catch that talent. So that's the one thing I would encourage any company, no matter what the size, to do.
Yeah, that's amazing. For our own business, when my dad and I, when we first started our company, a little disclaimer, we had no idea what we were doing. when it came to the hiring process, even more so. And over the years, we've increased the size of our net. And because of that, we have built a team that is more diverse than it was back just even 5 years ago or 6, 7, 8 years ago. And it's great because when you look at our team, it's diverse in people, in thought, in actions. Mm-hmm. It's like it creates us a more well-rounded business because you're right. Our customer type, the people that we sell to or that we service, they're not all the same. The only thing that they have in common is they got a beating heart. But other than that, there's nothing else. It's such a diverse space that we play in, especially being in California, that there's such a wide array of people that live here in this state. So that has been a huge benefit to our company and just really proud of the things that we've been able to do for sure.
No, you should be. That's fantastic. We love to hear it in practice, you know, even if it's something that folks are still working at. They may not be in the place that they aspire to be just yet as far as how they represent themselves back out to the businesses they do. But, always love to see the work in progress for sure. And we all are. It doesn't really matter how you are, but but we're all a little bit of work in progress.
Totally. I want to finish with one thing. If you could, I'll ask you, Emily, first, and then you, Jen. If you had the attention of the whole food service industry, what would you tell them? No pressure.
If I had the entire industry's, I would say after all the years of being in the food service business at different levels, whether it be an operator, whether it be industry, and even at the government level, the industry is big, but it's not that big. And so it's important to really key in on your relationships and relationship building, because I find that it helps you no matter if it's personal, professional, no matter what company you go to. We all seem to be a big part of one big family. And I find that very exciting about this particular industry. So I would just say, support your coworker, your boss, your friend, because you never know when they're going to be in a different role and it switches on you. And so it's always good to kind of be connected.
Yeah, well said. You know, I think I might just put out something similar that I said a second ago, but to a manufacturing community, and that is cast a wide net in what you're looking at from your manufacturers, because if you are not as in tune with your consumer base as you should be, you've got to be. And throwing that net out a little wider will help you be able to service them. So if it's not a mainstream item, as of the old days, you know, it doesn't mean it's not going to be a new mainstream item tomorrow, as consumer preferences are constantly changing across all of our channels and landscapes, for sure.
Well, I just want to say thank you both for taking the time, coming on the podcast, sharing your stories. Really appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to seeing you at the NRA show.
You got
and
it.
Just out in the industry as well. And thank you for all that you do to advance our industry. It does not go unnoticed. And so thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Nick.